Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:34 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 24th, and today the U.S. Treasury market went through 2.4%. It's been ranging below that level for most of the year, and has recouped it and surpassed it in here today. And what does that tell us? At least it begins to suggest that people are starting to think about inflation. They're starting to think about what is it exactly the Fed is likely to do, who is going to be the next Fed chair. And Janet Yellen has raised rates twice this year. Perhaps she'll do it again. But then the question, of course, goes to who is going to be the next Fed chair. It might well be Janet Yellen, but they'll be looking for someone who's dovish. That's almost certainly the case, considering that we are moving into a pro-cyclical period. This is certainly not going to be a counter-cyclical budget or way of spending. There are going to certainly be, I think, deficits on the horizon for the U.S. economy, and that is not particularly positive for yields. So we can see the two-year is up to almost 1.6%, so they're beginning to price in potentially another interest rate hike. It took them a long time to price in the potential for even one over the next 2 years. They're beginning now to price in the potential for almost two within the next 2 years. Labor force participation is rising. The average hourly earnings are rising. And certainly we can see that living costs, in both, most particularly in terms of healthcare and in terms of housing, are also appreciating in here. But against that background, the Dow Jones was at a new high. It rallied by an additional 160 points, and that is on the back of pretty strong earnings. Among those was Caterpillar, which surged to another new high and has been trending higher in a pretty accelerated manner since the beginning of 2016, and continued to extend that in here today. It really is now susceptible to some consolidation at least. But of course, this is a share that is leveraged to global growth, and we are still in this period of synchronized global economic expansion. And the yen was a little bit weaker in here again by about half a yen. It's pushing back up towards this 115 area. And again, I don't know, does anyone else notice the similarity between the yen and the 10-year treasury? Both have been ranging below these levels for much of the last year. Treasuries have just broken out, so could we then perhaps hypothesize that the yen may follow suit? Again, this feeds through to the contention that I've raised over much of the last few months, that Japan could well be back in an inflationary cycle, and that it is likely to offer one of the best hedges against inflation. It's rather difficult to short bonds because you end up paying the interest rate, and the higher the yield goes, the more the interest rate you have to pay. But if you can simply buy stocks as a hedge against inflation, then Japan might well be a good candidate for that. And the Nikkei was up an additional 100 points in here today, and it continues to extend this break above 21,000. And certainly, is it becoming a little bit overbought in the short term? Yes. Is there any sign yet that it is over? No. So I think we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. I'm trailing a stop up behind it because I don't think it's going to continue to rally in such a persistent manner indefinitely. Then when we look at China, we're going to have an announcement about who is on the standing committee within the next couple of days. But the A-share market has been uncharacteristically inert for most of the month, and one would have to consider that part of the reason for that is because of the Communist Party Congress. And over the next month, it's less likely to be quite as inert. We have to also consider that the big upshot out of this meeting has been that politics is being put in the number one priority and being put ahead of the economy. So that means that we are probably going to have some, I think, vanity projects, and Shangyuan is one of those where they're building a new city to house the administration for the entire country, moving it out of central Beijing, that they're basically building a brand new city, and it's going to be, it's obviously going to be shiny and technologically advanced because it is a beauty project from Xi's perspective. And then, of course, you have the One Belt, One Road project, which is a much more longer-term strategy, but both of them are going to require quite a bit of, I think, a lot of resources. So when we look at, for example, the copper price, then it remains on a recovery trajectory. And that's not it. One second. That what we're seeing is that it might be a little bit overbought in the short term, but this remains a recovery trajectory. And what I find rather interesting is that the BlackRock World Mining Trust, which is still trading on a discount of about 8%, is now back in the region of its highs for the year. Now, it did race to get here, so we may see some additional consolidation, but it's looking increasingly likely that it is going to be able to sustain a move higher. And I think that is representative of the mining sector generally. Then, when we look at Europe, I'm posting an interesting report from the, I think it's RBC in here today, talking about the fact that defined benefit pension plans in the UK have moved into profit for the first time in a decade. So that's rather important. It removes a certain headwind from some of the companies that are going to be most particularly impacted by that. But by and large, what that also reflects is the fact that we are in a period of synchronized global economic expansion, and we're in the, I think it's not incorrect to regard it as a Goldilocks scenario, because the growth has improved, but interest rates have not yet risen to any real noticeable extent. So the FTSE 100 is pausing here in the region of 7,500, but it continues to represent a bullish consolidation. And as long as it's trading above the trend mean, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. What's happening in Spain continues to make headlines, and the ECB is talking more seriously about what tapering might look like. But and then we also can see that the DAX has been pretty much inert since the beginning of October. It's holding this 13,000 level rather well. It pulled back from it in a rather dynamic fashion back in July. But I think the broader perspective is that if we look at the Euro Stoxx index, it bounced from the region of the trend mean about 6 weeks ago. It is right now in the region of the highs from this year and 2015, and we might get some pause, but that the most likely scenario is a sustained break higher, and that both Europe and Japan offer, I think, catch-up potential relative to what we're seeing with Wall Street generally. I'm also posting a rather interesting chart in here, or a report in here, I should say, today from Artemis, and it discusses volatility. And we can see from this chart of the S&P 500 just how rhythmic the advance has been, and that it is due some pause in consolidation, and that pause could be in the order of about 70 or 80 points if it's going to resemble the consolidations that we've had within the context of what has been really quite a consistent trend. But the fact that it has been so persistent on the upside has contributed to this lower volatility. And but there is the additional point, is that now, because we've had such an inert environment, and because option prices have been bunched, because we've had a persistent period of low volatility, it means that we can see, for example, that the volatility index has moved a full point. That's almost 10% in just the last three sessions. But when we go back and think about what was happening on the S&P 500, it has simply done just pulled back one day, and not even close to 1%, not to mind 10%. What that helps to, I think, really confirm is that the sensitivity of the volatility index has increased substantially to even small declines on the stock market. And it would suggest that when we do get a pullback in the order of 10%, which is not at all unusual in the context of the wider stock market performance, that it is going to represent a much more considerable move in the volatility index. And that is going to put a significant number of positions under pressure. And part of the reason for that is because volatility is one of the primary metrics in how strategies size their positions. Volatility won't tell you what to buy, but it will tell you how much to buy. Then, sensitivity to credit and the fact that we have such very low levels of such very low yields is an additional point. Now, that raises the question. Since this was a very inert day on the stock market, but the bond market was more active, and that we saw the yield going through 2.4%, one has to question whether that is having more of an influence on the volatility metric. So these are, I think, important considerations, because what we know, and we can simply see it on a 10-year chart, is that volatility has been incredibly low for really rather a long time. And there is a progression of lower rally highs, but that the consistency of this decline has been upset somewhat this year with occasional but short-lived pops on the upside. And it is looking increasingly likely that we are going to have some pause and consolidation. And I continue to think too that that is healthy. That is, in fact, what would contribute to the consistency of the advance, that if the market breaks up, then we anticipate that it is going to consolidate and that we're going to get another range. And as long as it is ranging and trending, then that represents the consistency of this advance since November of last year. And against that background, I think it is worth just keeping an eye on some of these emerging markets, because so many of them have been breaking up and away from lengthy ranges. The Indian market continues to pause around the upper side of its range, and it has played wallflower to some of the better performing emerging markets over the last few months. The Filipino market does look susceptible to some pullback and consolidation. If we look at, for example, Indonesia, then it had pushed up really quite impressively, but not in an accelerated fashion. But nonetheless, it is somewhat overbought, and that there is the risk that it could pull back. Then, if we look at Thailand, for example, then it had rallied really very impressively. And now we're seeing, I think, what is likely to be this first step above this really quite lengthy range. So I think we've had a very impressive period of stock market performance, and that we are due some consolidation. And I think that the likelihood is that we are pretty close to getting some consolidation. And the strategies that are most susceptible to losing money in that kind of environment, even if it is simply a consolidation rather than any big uptick in volatility, are likely to be these short volatility ETFs, which have just simply accelerated higher. But if we look very closely there at XIV, then that was a rather large key reversal yesterday, and we had some follow through on the downside in here today. So that would suggest that we have a peak of at least near term significance, and that the risk of some pullback and consolidation has certainly increased. And that is also what is particularly interesting, is that when we have this evidence of perhaps a heightened risk of pullbacks on the stock market, that bond yields are moving higher. Generally speaking, it would be the other way around, and that is quite different as well. So I think we are moving into a somewhat more uncertain period, that we are due a consolidation, and there is increasing evidence that we may in fact be getting one. And against that background, gold prices were a bit weaker in here today. So it really is still for the bulls to prove. The price really does need to hold that $1,250 area if potential for recovery through the end of this year is to be given the benefit of the doubt. Meanwhile, when we look at the Brent crude price, it was up a dollar. This has been a relatively similar size reaction to that one that we saw back in August, and that I think that the base case is that it is going to sustain a move above $60. This has been really quite a bullish consolidation in the region of the upper side of the range for the year, and that it has clearly broken the downward bias that was in evidence for most of the year, or at least the first three quarters of the year. So now it is looking likely that we will see some additional upside. Of course, what that is going to do is encourage a great deal of additional supply. The reality is that we can anticipate that oil prices are going to be volatile, and that breakouts are unlikely to be sustained beyond the short term. Because it takes time to drill wells and time to bring product to market, it means that we can get a breakout. It might be sustained for a month or two, but then the likelihood is that we get prices coming back down. But short term, it does look like we are going to see some higher prices. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.